All right, let's get the show on the road. Fuck. Ow. All right, here we go. We've got to put shit where it needs to be before starting the microphone, of course. 7:45 at night. We don't normally record this late because we have a life. Well, Randy has a life. I don't have a life. I have no fucking life at all. All I do is sit around and watch internet porn. And by internet porn, I mean Stefan Molyneux videos. And that big old shiny head, man. Looks kind of like half of a butt cheek. Oh, great. The microphone's falling over now. Everything goes to shit. You can scream and shout with all your might. Oh, you can scream, shout, whine, cry, snivel, piss, moan, look for motherfucking safe space. Shove your opinion up your ass. That way Hillary Clinton's cock has something to keep it company. Don't forget my friends and my enemies, boys and girls. The most likely third possibility, you are wrong and I am right. I am the great one himself. I am the founder of the Cynical Libertarian Society. I have fucking shit all in my fucking way here that I'm trying to get rid of as I'm doing the podcast. Where's the trash can? This is Stating the Obvious podcast. This is the weapons platform from which I launch the cruise missile my intellect comes in on and destroys motherfucking status all around the goddamn world. So fuck you, and fuck you, and then go fuck yourself. Because the alternative title for this podcast is, of course, the Go Fuck Yourself podcast. Or you could just get mowed down by the 50 caliber machine gun. Anyway, I'm the great one himself, founder of Cynical Libertarian Society, CYNLIBSSC.com, on the interwebs. Today is August the 6th in the year of our Lord Hussein Obama, 2016. The wars are all over with. Everybody has free health care. The budget has been balanced. We live in a perfect world thanks to the half-black messiah president who was elected. And, of course, race relations are much better, and there's no terrorism. Isn't it interesting that we're supposed to be so afraid of the terrorists? That's why if you see something, you're supposed to say something. That's why the TSA touches little boys' cocks in the airport, and that's why you have to take off your shoes. So we're supposed to be all afraid of the terrorist, and yet we're still going to let all the fucking Muslims in. And well, not all Muslims are terrorists. No, but all the terrorists are Muslims. I know, it's complicated shit. You can send us email in the control room over there. Lovely and adorable Randy is hanging out doing her thing. You can send us email. You can send us love notes. You can send us hate notes. You can send us naked pictures. You can send death threats. You can fucking email anything you want to fucking email. Okay, you can send viruses, but we use Linux, so it doesn't fucking matter. You do whatever the fuck you want to do. Send the fucking email to God. That's dog spelled backwards, G-O-D, God, at C-Y-N-L-I-B-S-O-C dot motherfucking com on the motherfucking interwebs. All right. Hold on. It's late at night. We're going to get started. Got the martinis. I made another martini. I said we're going to get started, and then I start tangenting about martinis. Fuck. No wonder I never get anything done on this podcast. So, if you listen to the previous episodes, you will recall that I made a martini with the new to me, the first time I had found it, Navy Strength Plymouth Gin, which is 57% alcohol as opposed to the normal 43% alcohol. And it kicked my ass a little bit, and it also tasted different. So I said, hey, you know what, I have to make another one to see if the reason it tastes different was because I put too much vermouth or if there's actually a difference. And I can say there is actually a difference in the taste between the 47% Plymouth Gin, I mean the 43% Plymouth Gin and the 57% Plymouth Gin. And I cough while I'm holding the martini. Yeah. And spill it and almost die on the fucking podcast. You guys could only get so lucky to be present when I die. As we know, Randy has standing orders. If I ever choke to death and die on a podcast, she's supposed to publish it, put it on the internet, and get it out there. Oh! Oh, man. That stuff is strong. Whew. The other day I was at the bar because one of my favorite bartenders was working. She's this cute little hottie pie. And I went in there on an empty stomach. This has nothing to do with what I'm supposed to be talking about. I'll try to be... I wonder why I never get anything done in one podcast. Anyway, I went in there on an empty stomach because I was only going to have one drink because I had to go do something else. So I'm having my one drink, and I get a text from the person I'm supposed to be doing something with, and she says, yeah, something came up, I feel I can't make it, whatever the fuck it was. I don't remember, it doesn't matter. I'm like, oh, well, so then I might as well have another one. And I had another one, and they were mixed drinks. And I don't know how much liquor she was putting in there. Maybe she was doing normal, or maybe it was, you know, maybe it was because I was on an empty stomach, or maybe she was giving me some extra. But, man, I got a little blitzed on that one. She did give me a break on the price, though. She gave me all the drinks at happy hour prices, even though it wasn't happy hour when I got there. It was happy hour when I left. So that's why you always be nice to your bartender, especially if she's a cute girl. But even if she's not a cute girl, you should always be nice to the bartender. And remember, kids, when you get something like that, the other day I'm in a restaurant, and I ordered food and two beers, and the waitress charged me for the food. She didn't charge me at all for the two beers. Again, it's good to be the great one. Yes, so always be nice to your servers, your bartenders, and when they do your little favors like that, remember, when you tip, tip on the full cost. Leave your tip based on what you would have spent had they not given you a price break. Okay? Don't be an asshole, guys. When some chick is nice to you and does shit like that for you, they give you extra booze, or when they give you discount, or when they don't charge you for your beers, don't be an asshole. All right, speaking of assholes, Randy, that's not going to happen. There's going to be a part three, I can tell you already. Okay, we are returning to the book, The Essential Guide to Date Rape Prevention, How to Avoid Dangerous Situations, Overpowering Individuals, and Date Rape, by Scott Lindquist, FCPP, CPS. Now, after doing the first episode about this book, and a subsequent Anarchy Moment follow-up, Googling Scott Lindquist, I found out that, as near as I can tell, if it is the correct Scott Lindquist, and I think it is, Scott Lindquist is dead. Scott Lindquist is also, in addition to being a femisimp beta male white knight orbital, Scott is, or was, perhaps we should say, also a Jesus freak. Yes, he was a feminist Jesus freak. Now, you can't get any more fucked up when it comes to trying to get advice about women, dating, relationship between men and women. I mean, it's bad enough that you would try to get that from a femistatist. And it's bad enough that you would try to get that sort of information from a Jesus freak. But to get that information from a Jesus freak femistatist, that, my friends, is seriously fucked up. And we are now going to experience the serious fucked upness of Scott Lindquist, as I said I was only going to be reading the little reality check sections in here. I have to read this part. This has to be read to you. It has to be. Oh my God. Yes, it does. But oh my God. Oh my God. All right. I'm also warning you, I have not read all of what we're going into. There might be some boring parts. I started reading it, and I just stopped because I wanted to save it. Okay, here we go. A is for agenda. Men's agenda. Many men have a different agenda from women in relationships. If men and women both wanted the same things in a relationship, there would be far less miscommunication. Now hold on, I thought men and women were equal. I thought there was no difference between men and women. All right, anyway, deep breath. However, this is not usually the case. When a man is in his early years, from age 17 to 25, he may be preoccupied with sex. God, you hear, Randy, is the resonation from the, I've got the stand in here to put the book on. Do you hear the resonation from that coming back on the microphone? Holy shit. All right. Well, I need to put some Duvetine or something over the stand. Whoa. All right. When a man is in his early years, from age 17 to 25, he may be preoccupied with sex. It may be on his mind constantly. Now, I don't know what happened to Scott Fagquest when he turned 25, but I know 65-year-old men who think about sex constantly. All right, now it gets better. A man may think that women exist for only one reason: to have sex with him. Okay. There are almost no men in existence who think that women exist for only one reason: to have sex with them. Okay. These men do not exist. This is the sort of fucking stupidity that when this fucking Scott Fagquest writes shit like this in his book, this is why this can't be taken seriously. This time in his life may be filled with doubts about his own masculinity, frustration, fear, and a strong need to be accepted by his peers. Yeah, that's called being 17 years old. The difference here is, of course, that men grow out of this, while women never grow out of their strong need to be accepted by their peers, their doubts about their femininity or masculinity in some cases, their frustration, and certainly their fear. Right? Femistatism is, as are all forms of statism, based entirely upon fear. He may feel the only way to prove his manhood to himself and his peers is by having sex. Locker room talk reflects this need on the part of young men to prove their importance through sexual conquest. Eric Jonok, or some fag name like that, a male student at Harvard-Ford College, described the gender role-playing that goes on between a man and a woman on a date. The following is taken from his senior thesis, as quoted in I Never Called It Rape by Robin Warshaw. Quote, the man is taught to look upon his actions on a date as a carefully constructed strategy for gaining the most territory. Every action is evaluated in terms of the final goal, intercourse. He continuously pushes to see how far he can get. As I go through, notice how everything, first of all, notice how the man is demified, vilified, because he has a goal and he has a system for achieving the goal. The man wants to have sex, yes. See, and again, notice how everything men want is bad. Notice, as I'm reading this, you'll notice this. That which men desire is bad. Men want to have sex. Sex is bad because men want to have sex. Women want relationships, which again tells you that Scott Lindquist doesn't know anything about women. Women want free stuff. Women want to be provisioned. Everything women want in this book is presented as good. See, that's what women want. That's the right choice. What boys want, bad. What girls want, good. And the boys want sex. And so the boys embark on a journey. They have a plan. They do things designed to reach the outcome of getting sex. And see, that's bad. Women, on the other hand, just sit around their entire lives waiting for men to rescue them. Daddy pays their bills. Daddy sends them to college. Their boyfriend buys them dinner. Their husband pays for their car and their house. Their ex-husband gives them alimony. Their children pay for their own age. Women don't make a fucking plan. Women aren't going to get off their ass and formulate a step-by-step process to arrive at the goal. No, they're going to sit around and wait for all of those evil white men who are all rapists, as we learned in the previous episode, to bring things to them. Hashtag he for she. Women are equal just as soon as you men bring the equality to them. Every time she, his date, submits to his will, he has advanced, and every time she does not, he has suffered a retreat. Since he already sees her as the opponent, and the date as a game or battle, he anticipates resistance. He knows that good girls don't, and so she will probably say no, but he has learned to separate himself from her and her interest. He is more concerned with winning the game. Instead of trying to communicate with her, he attempts to pressure her into saying yes. Now, I'm not sure how he's attempting to pressure her into saying yes without communicating. Maybe he's using his mind control powers? I don't know how that works. But then again, none of this is written by anybody who's intelligent. Every time she submits to his will, he sees it as a small victory. Getting the date, buying her a drink. Okay. Buying her a drink is not a victory. Buying her a drink is being a beta male. Getting a kiss or fondling her breast. Well, yes, because those are victories. He plays upon her indecisiveness. Well, because you have to. Women, you of course you play on their indecisiveness. You have to. He plays upon her indecisiveness, using it as an opportunity to tell her what she really wants, which is in fact what he wants. But now, of course, you see, women would never tell men that the men should want what the women really want, right? That would never happen. If her behavior is inconsistent, he tells her she is fickle or a tease. Well, yes. If he is disinterested in her desires and believes that she is inconsistent, he is likely to ignore her even when she does express her desires directly. When does a woman ever express anything directly? Again, you can tell these people don't actually know anything about women. When she finally says no, he simply may not listen. Or he may convince himself that she is just playing hard to get and she really means yes. Or maybe it's just that she doesn't really know what the fuck she's doing because indecisiveness. With such a miserable failure of communication, a man can rape a woman even when she is resisting vocally and physically and still believe it was not rape. Okay, once again, I've done this before. I want to issue the challenge again. I want a woman to come forth. And I'm not going to use a weapon. This is going to be me and you, and I am trying to get your clothes off of you and stick my dick inside of you. And you are going to resist. Unless I knock you out, tie you up or anything else. I don't give a shit what you people say. It is virtually impossible. This notion that these women are being raped, even though they're physically resisting. Again, it's different if she's unconscious, if she's drunk, and you're justifying rape. No, I'm explaining to you that a sober, non-incapacitated woman cannot be raped. If she is sober, if she is not incapacitated, if he does not have a weapon, if there's only one of him, how? Explain it to me. How can a man hold a woman? He's bigger. Okay, so you're holding her down. If I'm holding you down with my body weight, you're a woman, I'm holding, I can't get my dick inside of you. In order to get my dick inside of you, I have to maneuver around so that my dick is pointed at your pussy. There's not a lot of ways I can do that and still have my weight holding you down. Now if I'm like fucking 400-pound video game playing pizza faggot who lives in my mom's basement, okay, now you might have a point. Or I suppose maybe if I'm on the football team and I'm 300 pounds of muscle, all right, I might be willing to give you that one. Still, so the guy, he's got his dick, it's pointed at your cunt, right? Do you see his ball sack there? Do you not know how to knee him in the balls? Elbow him in the balls? Bite him in the balls? I love when women say shit like, I was forced to give a man a blowjob. Okay, his dick is in your mouth. Your mouth has teeth in it. You were not forced to give him a blowjob. You willingly gave him a blowjob. If you were being forced, all you have to do is chomp down. Or you pull his dick out of your mouth, you go for the ball sack, and you chomp on that. Okay, no, you were not raped, honey. You were not raped. Woman's agenda. Women may want different things from relationships than men do. This is especially true in the early years. As men and women get older, they tend to become more alike and share the same wants, needs, and goals in their relationships and lives. Again, if this book had been written by somebody who actually dated a woman before, it would be a lot more useful. But in the teenage and early adult years, ages 16 to 30, they can be separated by vast differences. And I mean, this is the cluelessness. Okay, so he's saying he says 16 to 30, they're separated. But so he's saying after 30, women's and men's interest becomes more aligned with each other. This is pure nonsense. When men hit the age of 30, that's when they start to realize that they have their value. That's when they start getting fed up with women's bullshit. That's when they start truly discovering their independence. That's when they're, in many cases, I know there's always exceptions, shut the fuck up. That's when they're ready to, like, be comfortable being single, dating multiple women, all this other shit. Women, on the other hand, when they hit 30, that's when they're like, oh fuck, I'm hitting the wall. I gotta find a man who is going to provision me in my old age. If they don't have kids, they're like, oh shit, I gotta start looking for a man to give me children so that there will be somebody to take care of me in my old age. Men 30 up, generally speaking, become more independent. Women at 30 up become less independent. At that point in their lives, they become much more fanatical about adhering to fucking common culture, adhering to what their friends want, adhering to society, seeking safety, seeking provisioning, seeking reassurance that they're still young and attractive, seeking the validation. Men 30 years old, I couldn't give a flying fuck about validation at this point in my life. A 35-year-old woman, she cannot fucking function without constant validation. For women, relationships mean cooperation and support. In other words, men carrying the heavy objects and giving them money. They want companionship and friendship. They look for men who communicate and make them feel secure and safe. For them, communication is extremely important. They grow up sharing feelings, desires, dreams, and ambitions with their mothers and other females. Yeah, with other females, not with men. Women do not want to share feelings, dreams, and desires with men. When life is difficult, they get comfort and understanding through talking it out with a close friend. Men, when life gets difficult, may withdraw from communication. Right, because we're trying to solve our own problems and not be a burden on everybody else around us. Because again, this is the difference between The Way of Men, excellent book by Jack Donovan, which you should read, and The Way of Women. Men want to solve their problems, right? I want to get some pussy. I go through a process. I create these steps, which we were told in the previous part of the book was evil. I don't want to blabber about my problems to everybody. I want to fucking solve them. Women, on the other hand, don't want to solve their problems. I've talked about this before. Women identify with their problems. Women just want to talk about their problems. Prevention. It's easy to see how this clash in agendas, men seeking sex, women seeking companionship, can lead to disastrous results. The safest thing for a young woman, the safest thing for a woman in a young age bracket is to assume that the man she's dating has sex on his agenda and make her decisions accordingly. Yes, you should always assume the worst about men because, well, they're men. And it's not sexist to assume that all men are rapists. More mature women may be able to draw their conclusions after some communication has taken place. Although it may seem like an awkward thing to do, a woman would do well to discuss her own agenda for the date right at the outset of the evening. Again, these are people who have never gone out with a woman. Can you imagine? For those of you who have dated a woman, can you imagine any woman you've ever dated outlining her agenda for the date before it happens? More importantly, would you bother to continue on the date with her once she had done that? B is for beliefs. Men's beliefs. I have not read this. I swear on my grandmother's ashes. How much do you want to bet that men's beliefs are evil? Men's beliefs are all about sex and how women are only here for sex. And how much do you want to bet that women's beliefs are good? And women believe in cooperation and communication and trust. Oh, and the great one believes in martinis. Oh, man, I am not bullshitting you guys. That thing is strong. Motherfucking hell. Hang on a second. I gotta do something. Everybody's like, hey, great one. What if you did this shit before you started podcasting? No, I'm not taking a shit. I don't mean shit literally. I'm moving the martini so it's in front of me instead of behind me. That way I don't have to turn around to get it. And my transitions, otherwise known as martini breaks, will go much smoother. That's some technical shit for you guys when you start your podcast, right? Make sure your drink is not behind you. It's like, guys, like we learned so much here on this podcast. All right, let's hear about men's evil beliefs, shall we? Many men have very distinct beliefs about men and women. Oh, that's evil. I cannot believe that. There are some fucking sexist pigs out there that have distinct, not just distinct, but very distinct beliefs about men and women. Oh, so fucking evil. This book is just so fucking goddamn fucking beta male. Jesus fucking Christ. This guy could not fucking white knight any harder. I mean, I don't know how you can white knight harder than this. Oh my God. No. Oh my, I cannot believe I'm reading these words. Okay, listen to that. No! They often believe that most women are manipulative and controlling, and that they generally don't know what they want. Because they don't. They are perplexed about women's emotional states most of the time, preferring logic to emotion mainly because many men are trained from boyhood to express themselves through logic and to suppress their emotions. No, they are not trained to be logical. Men are logical. There's this thing called evolution. Oh, wait, Scott Fagquest is a fucking Jesus freak. He doesn't believe in evolution. He thinks God created men and women. Hey, if God created men and women, why didn't God create women able to fucking prevent themselves from being raped? Oh, maybe God doesn't give a fuck if women get raped. I mean, he's all powerful, right? He created humans. He designed the fucking thing. On the other hand, they want women's sexual favors. The old adage, men give love to get sex, is still true for many men. No, men fake love to get sex. Again, the guy is fucking clueless. Many men who commit rape perceive women as sexual teases who change their minds after getting the man excited. These men tend to believe that once they become sexually aroused, they have to copulate and cannot stop until it's over. Sounds a lot like those Muslims. Sounds like that one Muslim who raped the kid. I was a 10-year-old or something, and they're like, why'd you do it? He said, well, I had a sexual emergency. I hadn't had sex in 6 weeks, and my balls were blue, and I had a sexual emergency. But remember, it's not rape when a Muslim does it. These men may be capable of completely separating the act of sex from the emotion of love, and may see women as objects whose purpose is to serve men. But now, of course, we know that women, first of all, women never have sex without love being involved, right? When a woman rides the cock carousel, what's that fucking fat woman? The one who raped her little sister when she was a kid. You know who I'm talking about. I can't remember. The one who came on Twitter, I think it was somewhere, and she said she has sex with dogs. We know that when she's having sex with dogs and when she's having sex with her little sister, there's love. That's love. Women only have sex with people they're in love with. And certainly, women do not see men as objects whose purpose is to serve women. No! When, you know, men are taking out the trash and dying in war and running into burning buildings and paying taxes and lifting heavy objects and, you know, basically just doing whatever the fuck women want them to do, including writing fucking books like this, saying shit like most rapists are white men and all men think about is sex and all this other shit. Right, none of these men are doing the bidding of women, and women certainly don't look at these men as people who just exist to serve them. No, of course not. Some men with these kinds of beliefs believe that a husband cannot rape his wife and that she is the property of her husband. Yes, that's called Islam, and it's coming to the United States. And I welcome it. They also may believe a man should be in strict control of finances and decisions in the home and that he is the head of the household. Yes, he should, because women don't understand math and economics, and yes, men should make the fucking decisions. Those beliefs are often reinforced by the world's major religions, which are based upon male dominance. No, the major religions are based upon the idea that there's an invisible man who lives in the sky. And, oh, Scott Lindquist, you're a Jesus freak. You think there's an invisible man in the sky too? Oh, but wait, you're dead. You know the truth. Except you don't know the truth because you don't exist anymore. Because there's no fucking afterlife. You're gone. You're gone, Scott. You're fucking gone. This is it. And this is all you've got left of you in the world is me making fun of you on this podcast. Fruit fly, get away. So it must be fruit fly mating season or some shit talking about rape. There are fruit flies everywhere. I'm drinking hot tea. I look in the tea. There's a fruit fly floating in it. I'm drinking coffee. I look in my coffee cup. There's a fucking fruit fly in there. I'm drinking a beer the other day. I look in the beer. There's a goddamn fruit fly. Now the fruit fly is fucking hovering around my martini. We went from baby spiders to fruit flies. Fortunately. Oh my god. This is so beta male. Okay. Fortunately, some men have been influenced by the women's movement and are beginning to view relationships as more equitable. So does that mean when they get a divorce, she's not going to take half of everything he owns? Does that mean she's going to go get a fucking job and support herself? No. No, of course it doesn't. This shift also may take place as a man reaches his 30s and 40s and may begin to see the importance and appeal of a balanced relationship. Oh. I am so glad I got this book. All right. Women's beliefs. Today, many women believe that all men want only one thing. This is especially true if they are young and going out with younger men, which is why younger women should date older men. But that's another topic. They tend to think that all men are jerks. But of course, men being jerks can't possibly have anything to do with women's behavior, right? Because we know women are perfect in every way. That they can't communicate, because we know that men's inability to communicate is because men are inferior, could not possibly have anything to do with women or women's actions? No, of course not, because women are perfect exactly the way they are, and nothing ever has anything to do with them. Or that they won't share their feelings. Because men not sharing their feelings couldn't possibly have anything to do with men being biologically, mentally, brain chemistry different than women, and it sure as fuck couldn't have anything to do with women's behavior, because, well, women are perfect in every fucking way. And women cannot in any way at all ever be held responsible for anything that happens to them in their life. They often don't feel that men are very smart, and they believe that men are certainly not sensitive and caring. Gosh! So given that women have, according to Scott Fagquist, all of these negative beliefs about men, I wonder why men treat them like shit. I mean, if some fucking cunt thought I was a jerk, thought I couldn't communicate, thought I wasn't going to share my feelings, thought I'm not very smart, and believes I'm not sensitive or caring, how would you expect me to treat her other than as a cunt? I certainly would probably wouldn't rape her. I mean, she'd have to be really fucking hot for me to have sex with her in spite of all of that. I mean, if this is what he thinks women think about men, and yes, there are some women that that's exactly their worldview, but it's certainly not all of them. But this is the belief he's pushing in his book. So if you think this is the opinion most women have of men, why would you expect men, being subjected to all of that, to treat women as anything other than shit? Again, we know the answer. Men are still supposed to be nice to women because women need to have things bought for them. They need to be driven to restaurants. They need to have food bought for them. They need to have movie tickets bought for them. They need help when they move to another apartment. They need somebody to carry things for them. They need someone to come water their plants while they're off in another country on vacation fucking some other guy, right? Some women also feel that men don't understand them, and they are perplexed by men's unwillingness to talk and share. They see men often in roles of control and manipulation and resent their attitudes about women in general. Because, of course, again, the attitudes that we men have about women could not possibly be based on women's actions. When I say women shouldn't vote, that couldn't possibly have anything to do with the fact that women always vote for more government. Right? When I talk about my friend who said, well, why should I get my cavities filled when they're small? Why don't I wait till the cavity is bigger and it's really a problem? Right? When she says something stupid like that, me thinking she's a dumbass couldn't possibly have anything to do with her behavior. No! The fact that she said something that fucking stupid, that could have nothing to do with why I assert that she's a dumbass. This disconnect that you femisimps and you femistatists have between what women do and how they are treated by men. This notion that women are just supposed to be able to do whatever the fuck, I'm going to go ride the cock carousel, but men are supposed to still treat them like they're some kind of virgin princesses. Many women who have attended my seminars, oh God, can't understand why any man would rape or assault someone because they are not driven for power as men are. Okay, Jesus fucking Christ. First of all, if they're not driven for power, they can't understand rape. Why did that fat woman rape her little sister? Second of all, if women are not driven for power, explain Hillary Clinton. Oh wait, she's actually not much of a woman. She has quite possibly more testosterone than I do. Okay, if women are not driven for power, then why do they resent these men who are in roles of control and manipulation? If women are not driven for power, why are they always trying to get so much fucking free stuff? That is their fucking power. No, women, for the most part, don't want formal power. They don't want to be the president. They don't want to be the leader. But they want to have the control that democracy gives them to take things away from other people and give it to them. Sorry, honey. Welfare, WIC, food stamps, alimony, child support, all of that shit, that is power. That is power that women have over everybody else in the fucking population via the government. That is power. Don't fucking tell me that women do not desire power, you fucking ignorant, beta male, white knighting, orbital, femi-simping, fucking Jesus freak, fucking piece of shit. You are out of your fucking mind. The sheer fucking stupidity of this fucking beta male, white knight, orbital faggot. In spite of all this, they love men. And in spite of all men's flaws, in spite of how filthy and disgusting and nasty and hateful and rapist you men are, these women still love you, because women are so pure, they're so virginal. They're just the purity. Just, that's not sweat running off of her on a hot day. That's purity. When she menstruates, that's not blood coming out of her cooch. That's excess purity. Because, aren't we men so fortunate? Oh, aren't we so lucky that these goddesses of purity, these women, that they still love us. Oh, in spite of how racist and sexist and homophobic we are. I feel so fortunate to know that women still love me, despite my billions of imperfections. Damn it, this is classic. In spite of all this, they love men and look for a loving, caring, and supportive partner with whom they can build a relationship, and who will pay their bills for them and give them free stuff. Notice how he completely leaves out all notions of provisioning. Most of these women see relationships as a win-win situation. I assume he means winning for them and winning for them. They look for partners who will respect them and put time and work into the relationship. They are used to sharing their feelings and to experiencing enduring relationships with other females. Again, look, guys, if you have to work on your relationship is fucked. And again, men are not women. This, if you want a fucking talky relationship with another woman, that's called your mom or your sister or your daughter or your girlfriends. That is not what men are for. Men are for fucking. No, I'm just kidding. It's going to be a long night. We still got to do post on all three of these episodes, and it's fucking 8:30. Just shoot me now. All right. Now it's me talking to Randy. It has nothing to do with you guys. Many women need support and love and a feeling of safety, otherwise known as money, before they give sexual favors. That is not true. That is not even remotely true. Again, there are women out there. If women need all this shit before they have sex, explain to me why all these pickup artists who are evil and all this, explain to me how he managed to have sex with all these women within 3 hours of meeting them. Again, this man has no clue. This man has never gone on a date with a woman. I think he was married from what I saw on the internet. It was probably an arranged marriage. Emotional closeness is very important to them. Yeah, right after money and oxygen. The old adage, a woman gives sex to get love, remains true for many women. That's the first thing he said that is actually true. Yes, women give up the sex in order to get the man to love them so that the man will give them provisions. Women exchange sex for money. It's called prostitution. Women had men make prostitution illegal because women don't like the competition from whores. Right? You go to a whore, you give her $100, she has sex with you, she goes away, you never see her again. Women didn't like that competition. That's why prostitution is illegal. Again, if men ruled the world, why would women having sex for money be illegal? If men really ran things, we would not make prostitution illegal. Prostitution is illegal because women can't handle the competition. For many women, having sexual intercourse is the most intimate and vulnerable situation they can be in. No, the most vulnerable situation is not having a man to give them free stuff. So a feeling of safety and emotional support is vital. That is not true. Such a woman has a hard time separating sex from her feelings about a man. That is not true, with whom she is involved. Women have sex with men they're not married to all the time. Women cheat on their boyfriends and all this other shit. In essence, she needs to be loved and cherished and made to feel special before she feels comfortable having sexual contact. No, she doesn't. Women have one-night stands all the fucking time. Women do not need all of this fucking buttering up shit in order to spread their legs. Prevention. A woman must ascertain early on the extent to which the man she is dating believes that women are inferior to men. She must listen closely to his words and closely observe his behavior. Remember that disparaging remarks about women, along with inappropriately controlling behavior, may be warning signals of a rapist. If you're not a femisimp, you're a rapist. Oh, we're not done. There's another section yet. It's C for communication. Oh yeah, it's good. All right, I'll see you in the next one.